Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is a more modern telling of the story Jesus told that goes something like this. A priest and a bishop were gathered around the altar. And the priest, probably wanting to impress his bishop, said, "Lord, forgive me, I am just totally unworthy, you know, blah, 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 blah," rattled on for a while. The bishop then made a more elaborate speech about how he was the lowest of all and the servant of all, and would God have forgiveness on him? And they went on for a while, and the janitor was standing back off to the side. He was so impressed that these two people whom he had worked for and knew were this way that he looked up to God and said, "God, you know I'm a sinner. Forgive me." And the bishop turned to the priest and said, "Look who thinks he's humble." Isn't that the problem with humility? That we become prideful of the fact that we are humble. So we're really in a catch-22 if we think we can be humble to please God, because by being humble, we're priding ourselves and we're doing the opposite of what we're supposed to do. You know? Think about it. As soon as you get a little bit prideful about your humility, the whole thing has gone out the window, hasn't it? So what then are we to make of Jesus talking about being humble? And what should we take from it? And this is my perspective, of course, you're going to get that. What does this lesson say to us today? Well, there are a couple things that I think this lesson says to us. Because I know we talk about being humble, we're just going to be prideful in our humility. So let's take it a little different direction. What does being humble mean? Well, one thing I think it means is being honest and truthful. If you'll notice in our lessons for today, first the people of Israel must make confession that they have messed up big time. They don't start out saying, "God, why are you not forgiving me?" They start out, "We know we're in trouble. Why don't you forgive us?" Why do they do that? Because that reality changes one's perception. Okay? Why do we begin the service? Most of the time, sometimes with remembering our baptisms, but often with confession. Back in 78, there was a movement to move the order of confession from the beginning of the service to in the middle, right where you give the offering, with the idea being that based on the biblical passage, that if you're at enmity with your brother, make peace with them before you make your offering. That's why we put the sign of the peace there. But also, isn't that the place we ought to confess, recognize our enmity with one another? And while that was valid, the overall feeling in the Lutheran church was, no, we need this at the beginning. Because when we come in that door, we need to get rid of all the pride, all the boasting, all the sense that we can justify ourselves before God, this nonsense, this spin doctoring thing that we do in our lives. So we start the service off nipping all that in the bud. We face the reality that every single one of us here is not here by merit, but by grace. It is the love of God for us. Because God already knows before we confess. We're not going to impress him with our confessions, you know. God's heard it all. He's seen it all. He knows that. And he knows that we are a lot worse, if we really are honest with it, than we like to make ourselves out to be. We can make ourselves look so good. We know how to doctor resumes and know how to doctor our speeches to make ourselves sound good. So rather than coming in with the pretension that we're better than anyone else, we start the service with confession. It's rooted in reality. So part of if we're going to ever emulate or get involved with Jesus is, it means we have to be honest. Honest about ourselves, and honest about the way we do things. Paul put it very bluntly. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Bam. That's it. There is no argument to that. There's not any exclusions, not any sense of, well, I did this, and I've got 10 merit cards for all the stuff I did over here. You know, that was the problem that Luther saw with the church. The church had fallen into this nice, easy pattern of giving you things that told you were good if you did certain things. It worked. They built St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome with all the money they raised from selling indulgences. But it changed people's attitudes. They felt like they were superior because they had done these things. So did the man, the first man, who was religious, and let's be honest, the religious authorities, including myself, can get pretty highfalutin on ourselves sometimes, you know. We think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. as Paul put it, which modern translation is, we get too big for our britches. You know, it's true. But it also has another dynamic of freeing us up. This sense of not being defending ourselves all the time, which it is. When you get prideful, you think you do your own salvation. You have to defend everything you do. And all you do is spend time trying to defend yourself from the truth. Facing the truth and recognizing God's grace and mercy then frees us up from this sense of trying to prove our worth to God. And instead let the love of God flow through us. It's turning the world upside down. Rather than focusing on ourselves, there's a freedom given in this sense of the confession and the things in our lesson. It frees us to be bad God's visible sign in the world. Because we're not trying to defend ourselves. We're not trying to prove ourselves. We do that in our real lives, quote unquote, or outside the church life sometimes. But it does not happen when we face God. There is no sanctification. I think of it like this. As I've gotten older, pretty much since my 50th birthday, a pleasant gift from God for me, I started needing to read glasses. It started out when I used to hold the book of Christmas Eve this far out from me, and all the kids in the church I was serving at the time started laughing at me. Made me realize that I need glasses to read. Now, I can see all fine without them. I can drive without them. But if I want to read this text in front of me, especially when the light's not perfect, I better have these on. Otherwise, if I go over to this Bible, it's gibberish. But when I put this on, it makes sense. I believe the sense of letting go of our pride and thing are like a lens. That the way we see ourselves in the world changes when we see it through the eyes of God's grace and mercy. And it enables us, from instead of gazing into our belly button all the time, to lift up our eyes and see the needs and wants of a world that we are not superior to, but are part of. This is a great blessing. I like what Paul did. Now, Paul, let's be honest, sometimes gets a little boastful in his letters. If you read them all, he was not immune to this self-pride thing. I mean, he was a highly educated, very assured person. We know that from the history of Saul before his name was changed. But he always, always struggled to keep that pride intact. And I think that's the lesson for us. It is the struggle. We're not going to succeed in being humble, but it's the struggle to try to limit our pride in all that opens the doors for us. So Paul, you know, he was writing these letters to a lot of these churches because he wasn't happy, you know. We get what Paul hears about things away from town and then writes back to them on a lot of these letters that he wrote. So he has some bones to pick. But he always starts and always ends the letters with something like this. I thank God always for you. And then he'll ramble a bit and get mad a little bit. Then he'll come back to that again. Because for Paul, that grounded him. The people he was talking to were the children of God. And that changed his attitude. They weren't people inferior to him. They weren't people that he had no connection to. They were his people. So too, St. Francis would say, no matter who you encounter, when you look into a face in this world, you're looking into the face of God. For God has made every person that you encounter. See that perspective change? See the freeing up that it does? See the lens that we now can read and see God's mercy and grace? Then we will live it out in how we treat one another. Not perfectly, no. But the struggle is worth it. Because in the struggle, we come to grips with our reality. Which is, we don't save ourselves. But we also come to grip with the wonderful grace of God that loves us despite and sometimes because of our failings. God loves us and cares for us because he's got a whole world full of people just like us who need to see his love and mercy in action. And we then are exalted when we don't focus on ourselves and focus on others, because God's mercy and grace moves through us and others, and we're able to do things and be people we could not be on our own. Look around this room. Just take a second. Consider the wonderful talents and skills that people have in this room. If we got so egotistical we thought we could do this by ourselves, this place wouldn't exist. It depends. It's here because we're all sinners. That's why we're here to begin with. But it flourishes because we all have skills and gifts that God has freed up into the world. So let us not be humble, self-righteous. Let's let go of all those things that burden us down. Let's face the reality of who we are and let God exalt us in using us for